like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
Hide is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Dave with us Tuesdays right here in this slot. And Dave, the DBs that are committing to Florida, the five-star DBs, are not apparently aware that the Big Ten canceled and nobody else is going to play because of this. Do they know this, Dave?
I don't know, Bill. I think nothing should happen. No commitments, no practice, nothing. You know, if it was according to some other people out there, everything should be shut down. But, big news for the Gators, of course, the past couple of days or whatever. One, kind of a surprise when he announced Jason Marshall. That one was trending Miami for about the last week or so. It had thought to be a Florida-Alabama battle. Alabama thought Florida was in good shape, and Florida thought Alabama was in good shape, but both schools thought their own schools were in pretty good shape there at the end. And then Miami comes along. These kids are from Miami Palmetto, Jason Marshall and Corey Collier. We've pointed out that school for about the last, since February, Bill, since this last recruiting cycle started, how important it would be for Florida to get these guys. And Leonard Taylor, the defensive lineman from that school, committed to Miami, I think it was last Thursday or last Friday or whatever. And Jason Marshall, from everything we heard, it was kind of trending that he was looking at Miami as well. And credit to Florida staff for behind the scenes, Bill, keeping working and keeping on Marshall and eventually pulling him away from a Miami team that's surging on the trail lately and beating Alabama for one of the top in-state players and DBs there. Florida's lost some recent wide receiver battles to Alabama, so this one was kind of one Florida needed to get, Bill. And on Sunday, Marshall announced that he's going to commit to Florida. As you mentioned, he's a five-star, 29th-ranked player in the country there. So, Florida not only getting a big-time in-state guy, but just a big-time player in general. And these are the kind of battles Dan Mullen needed to start winning to make this roster better. And, Florida's had no problems bringing in defensive backs. And that continued Corey Collier yesterday, the safety from Miami Palmetto as well. Big time player there, Bill, and he's a five-star rival. But the 24/7 Sports composite has him as the 83rd-ranked player and a four-star on the composite. So, yeah, big time pickups for the Gators, Bill, and it was kind of a needed for this class. We kind of behind the scenes maybe. Recruiting had been trending the wrong way a bit, and you saw what Miami was doing. And then a lot of credit to the staff, Bill, for just kind of keeping on these guys and in the end getting their commitment. So, of course, got to hang on to them up until December, February, or whatever. But for now, Florida's in great shape moving forward. And not too many spots left, Bill, for this class. So Florida's probably going to be pretty picky and choosy from here on out.
What are they saying in Florida in general about college football, because you got ACC schools, you got the SEC school there, the Gators. What's being said?
Publicly, and I think fan-wise, Bill, I think most fans want to see their teams play. I think we've come to this point now where, I've heard you talking to your show, there are a lot of things open and happening right now. And look at it, and I know when Major League Baseball started and everything that happened with the Marlins and that kind of scared and shot some people away and kind of projecting forward of the way college football is going to work because these teams are going to travel like these baseball teams are. They're not going to be in a bubble that, with the Marlins being a Florida team, everybody just kind of really focused in and honed in on that it didn't look good there, but they seem to have kind of bounced back from that. So I think down here, Bill, there is a lot of just kind of wanting to see. Everybody got excited last week, of course, when the ACC announced their schedule, and then we found out the 10th opponents for Florida, or 9th and 10th opponents for Florida being Arkansas and Texas A&M. So, you know, you had this big news blast and kind of a big ray of hope with the schedules getting announced, and then just a couple of days later that a Big Ten and maybe the Pac-12 or by Tuesday are going to decide that they don't want to play anymore. From what I can tell, Bill, down here, everybody's just kind of fed up with that angst of it, and I don't know if there's a whole lot of confidence that we'll get a whole season in or that we'll even play, but I do think it was an overreaction by the Big 12 or Big Ten and the Pac-12 of what's the rush? And I don't believe that. I know it came out late last night that, hey, the voting is going to be on whether to delay the start of the season, not cancel the season. I think that was just because of backlash. I think the public opinion out there of and all the throwback from the players and the Big Ten's own coaches and the players nationally. I think everybody saw that and was like, hey, you know, maybe we are making this decision too fast. So I think they'll vote today, and if they vote today, it will be maybe to delay the start of the season and maybe not cancel it. But I think all that was due to just the backlash there. And what's the problem with waiting? And I think the SEC made the right decision right away to have a start for September 26th, and you need to see how the NFL responds and what the game of football looks like with this coronavirus and what happens when students, your fellow students, get back on campus. And the SEC and other conferences delay their start so they can get that and they can get the right data and they can get all the necessary information before they even start a season. And I think a lot of people making the decisions for the Big Ten and Pac-12 necessarily, they, for whatever reason, just didn't want to wait. And they were, I think, on the verge. I really do think they were on the verge of canceling yesterday. But I think the public backlash from media, players out there, the national player movement, they want to play. I just think that really led to some rethinking from those conferences.
Pac-12 always catches heat because of Larry Scott, and rightfully so, their commissioner. But right now, the Big Ten looks more poorly run, perhaps, than anybody. You trot out your schedule not long ago with the dates, and we're going to start playing September 3rd for some teams, 3rd through the 5th is that first array of games. And then just a couple days later, it's panic mode. We can't play, apparently. What happened? What changed in 72 hours or whatever the time period was? Makes no sense at all, unless you're poorly run.
And then, and like you said, they were the first ones to say they were going to play a conference-only schedule and all that, and they were kind of getting praised for that. And all the other conferences are panicking, and they're going to follow the Big Ten's lead and all that. And eventually that became a domino effect to where a lot of other conferences didn't necessarily have a choice in that matter. That once the Big Ten announced it, I don't think the other schools or other conferences necessarily wanted to follow, but them being the first one to do it kind of started a chain reaction, and then that was pretty much the only option left as you started moving forward. But the only thing I know that changed is, I know that the report of, long-term issues on the heart maybe and what some players and young people were going through who have had COVID, what it does to their heart and stuff. But as I said, it just kind of seemed like a abrupt reaction. If that's part of the report, there just kind of seemed like an abrupt reaction to it. And I just don't understand why you can't wait. And Greg Sankey said this yesterday, the SEC commissioner, wait, get more data, things change every day. I don't necessarily know why a decision, at least for canceling a season and moving it to spring or whatever, which, by the way, is a whole other story, that's not going to work. But it's just, I think they were trying to make too abrupt of a decision, and I don't understand that. Like you said, Bill, it's just I don't understand what changed so fast to where it goes from we're going to play to we're going to cancel instead of you know, we're going to play and we'll hold off. And we'll hold off. It just went from, you know, 100 to zero in just a matter of days. And like I said, I think the backlash kind of changed their minds a little bit.
Tell everybody how they get Gators Breakdown, the podcast.
Everybody can get Gators Breakdown on news4jax.com/Gators Breakdown and all the podcast platforms out there. Busy few days, Bill. Like I said, commitments. So we just talked about those. And then I went back last Friday and recorded an episode right after the SEC announced Texas A&M and Arkansas as far as 9th and 10th opponents this year. So hopefully we get to see those opponents, Bill. But nice little preview of what that means for Florida and the SEC East and the SEC and just in general if they're 9th and 10th games.
See you next week.
Thanks, Bill.
Paragon SC on Twitter. Big Trojan fan, Southern Cal. Bill, do you think Crazy Larry Scott, will use canceling the season as his way of not dealing with the players' demands? That's right up his alley. You know what? I said this, was it yesterday? Shockingly, I agree with Larry Scott on something. Didn't think that day would come. Apparently, they had a teleconference Friday night, and the players, according to stories, came away a little disappointed because Larry seemed not real attentive to their demands. I agree with Larry on that. Absolutely agree with him. Didn't think that day was coming, but it did. Here's a tweet, Crazy Charlie. Here's a tweet from Matt Fishman. We've known Matt a long time. He was with us at SiriusXM. He was stationed in D.C. I think he's still there. Not with the company, but I think he still lives in D.C. area. Says, Bill, I found it peculiar that the reports were coming from odd sources. He's talking about my tweet about the misreporting on Monday. The reports were not from the main college football reporters like McMurphy, Dodd, 40, Thamel, which made me take pause. Yeah, it was. Now 40 has been a absolute corona bro during this. And so has Dodd, for that matter. But yeah, the reporting, the free press. And I sat there Monday and I did not comment at all, as far as I recall. Just watching these tweets and this reporting, thinking, are you sure? And people were just going with it, left and right, just taking it and running with it. I remember thinking, are you sure? Now, your conclusion may someday be right, but in the moment, are you sure? There was a lot of misreporting on Monday. I mean, tons of it. And nobody seemed to care. I mean, other than, well, Cowherd even had a good tweet about it. Cowherd's tweet, I lost it. It's somewhere, and I know we need a break. But it said something like, the players and the coaches want to play, but the sports writers seem to know better. That's well put. I mean, Cowherd is not your college football scoop guy, nor is Dan Patrick. Don't go there for your scoop. But that's a good tweet. Players and coaches want to go. They want to play. But the sports writers, obviously, wearing hidden epidemiologist tags, know better. Right? They know better. All right, here's what we need to do. We need to break. We're coming right back. Black is on hold. Get ready, y'all. That's going to be a good one. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. We're still looking live here on 24 westbound, where there's still rerouting traffic off the interstate on 24 westbound here onto Harding Place. The accident reconstruction team is still on the scene out here from that fatal crash. Again, what a mess trying to get out of Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, headed towards Nashville using 41 Murfreesboro Pike, and that's no picnic. Donaldson Pike right at the interstate. They're still working that accident. Bars Music City Soul Food is now open behind the Bank of America on Nolensville Pike at OHB. Check them out, barsmusiccitysoulfood.com. I'm Commander Chuck, you're on time traffic.
The Southern Air Market combines the hospitality of a New Orleans-style neighborhood grocery with the convenience of a New York City bodega to cater to the needs of downtown Nashville residents and visitors. Located in the Pinnacle Building on DeMumbrian and 2nd Avenue next to its sister property, the Southern Steak and Oyster, the Southern Air Market is the first of its kind in the burgeoning SoBro neighborhood. Drop by to choose from shelves stocked with locally sourced sundry goods and produce. A butcher counter full of fresh meat and seafood, French-pressed coffee, made-to-order paninis, and a bevy of craft brews by the bottle. Don't want to leave the house or office? We also deliver at the Southern Air. Find us on DeliveryDudes.com and OrderUp.com. The Southern Air Market is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and Sundays from noon to 5:30. To learn more, visit SouthernAirMarket.com or call 615-490-8077.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. That's 800-942-1298.
Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM has been your home for sports for 20 years. From typewriters to Twitter, fax machines to Facebook, we have you covered 24/7 and on the go. Finding us online is as easy as at Nash Sports Radio. Twitter, at Nash Sports Radio. SoundCloud, at Nash Sports Radio. Facebook, at Nash Sports Radio. Or search your app store for WNSR. 20 years of sports. Anytime, anywhere. From Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Need to know anything about college football? Consult with the Encyclopedia Bill Tanaka every morning.
Bottom of the hour, Charles Arbuckle will be with us. Black, welcome in, sir.
Hey, good morning, sir. How you doing, man?
Good morning.
Hey, man, I'm out of the loop, man. I don't have any social media. I just IG. I'm all IG now. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I'm not. I know Twitter is a mess with all the politics and all of the erroneous reporting and stuff. So I've just listened to what you were saying, and like I could see everybody just wanting to beat the next person to the scoop, and they were just terribly reporting bad information. I say bad faith information too, you know.
Right.
I'll say this though, man. So I say that to preface this point. When the uprisings or whatever you want to call it were going on in Minneapolis, I'm like 3 or 4 days behind everything because I don't watch the news. Like I haven't watched 20 minutes of news over the past year combined, probably. You know what I mean? So I wasn't watching the news. But when I turned on the television and seen that they had burned down the police station, I remember looking at that mayor, man, and thinking to myself, it reminded me of a Jay-Z lyric, like, you know, kids got to grow up like, damn, this is my dad. And I just looked at him like, dude, you'll never be able to recover this. Don't ever go into any type of masculine pursuits, man. You let them burn down your police department, all right? Regardless of where you stay, you can stand politically. You could never be a man after, you know, you could never lead anybody. Even your children won't even look up to you. Well, I felt a similar way up towards the Big Ten leadership yesterday. Like, there's nothing that they could do going forward that could earn my respect. Like, I'm talking about the presidents and the commissioner of the Big Ten. There's nothing they could do. I mean, anything that they do will be in response to the outcry that has happened, okay? Because I do believe that they had intended on doing it. They just didn't plan on they're so detached that they didn't expect there to be such an outcry, because they don't relate. I don't know what the recipe for becoming a college president or a conference commissioner is, but I guarantee it don't involve a whole bunch of testicles or semen or whatever masculine they did. It's not humanity, okay? Now, look, I will say this. You know, I love Ryan Day. I have the utmost respect for Nick Saban. I love what they did and what they said. But yesterday, man, two gentlemen who I upbraid and give a hard time, I got it. I got it yesterday, man. Start with James Franklin. That is a man. I always seen him. I knew he was a special. He was something different, man. A very charismatic, charming dude. Hyper, hyper charismatic, man. I love the way he stood by his people, man. But, brother, I'm going to tell you who got me, man.
I know where you're going. Do it.
James Harbaugh, brother. What he said was absolutely beautiful, down to every letter, the placement of every period, comma, vowel, and doggone adjective, man. He rocked it. Rocked it for a moment. Look, listen, bro. I don't care. Listen, man, I don't care what everybody think of me. I care what I think of me, man. And I would be remiss if I wasn't honest, man. That was special what he did. And Scott Frost rocked it. Scott Frost was the king of the day. But I have to go here and highlight James Harbaugh, man. He killed the dude. And he was, hey, man, I got it for a moment, Bill. For a moment, I did, man, and I am not going to – that man, he deserves – I'm giving that man what he deserves, man. He killed it, man. But I had to read what he wrote about 5 or 6 times, man. I'm like, woo, amazing, man. What he wrote and what Scott Frost said, they were the stars of the day yesterday. James Franklin, too. And I love what Ryan Day did, but that goes without saying. You already know that. Nick Saban goes without saying, man. But, yeah, for the moment, man, they did their thing, man. But, yeah, that's it, man.
The world just ended. Yes, have a good day, Black.
Yes, sir.
The world literally just ended. Black said something nice about Harbaugh. I was not expecting that. Steven down in Louisiana says, Bill, here's the tweet from Colin Cowherd. It was last night. Observation after 10 minutes on Twitter. College football players want to play. Sports writers are convinced they know better. Hashtag cocktail time. Very good tweet. That's good. Rod, a Buckeye in Texas on Twitter. Bill, I think a lot of reporters are so fixated on being the first to report something that they're just going to throw out stories not having the facts so they can just claim to be the first. Yeah, because if they do indeed cancel, I don't think that happens today from the Big Ten. The presidents meet at 10:30 in case you're just checking in. But when they cancel, if they cancel, they'll just turn back and say, well, we had it. It just got delayed. That's all they have to do. They've got an easy out there. It'll be a big lie, but it's an easy out. Wow. It's been a crazy, crazy last few days, and I assume it's going to be the same. 614 Rob. So what, Bill? Black now doesn't want to put 100 on TTUN? Yeah, the biggest pound-the-table guys on Monday, coaches, were certainly Franklin, Frost, Harbaugh. Saban. Ryan Day's not a real big pound-the-table guy, I don't think, but he made his voice clear yesterday. I still don't know what the legal protocol would be. And again, this is just the vague what-if world we're in right now. For a team like Ohio State, the league cancels, but Ohio State says, no, we're playing. You may not be. Evanston, Illinois might not be, but we are. What's the protocol for joining up and having a one-year, quote, and I hate this term, but I'll use it, super conference? Is that something that could be done? I mean, no time to plan at all. Now, they have said there's been some reaching out already about contingencies if our league, meaning, I guess, the Big Ten. Rob in the 210, and then we'll take the break. Dag Nabbit Bill Black giving Harbaugh respect is bad for the show. Gone are the days of Black describing Harbaugh as a Kardashian without the nice A double dollar sign because he had done nothing. But no. Now Black is all in love with Harbaugh. Oh, I think next time he'll turn back on Harbaugh. I was shocked to hear that. That might be more unusual than the environment we're in right now. Black complimenting Harbaugh. Yeah, that might be the news of the day. Let's see what happens. We got a long day ahead of us, but let's see. That might be the newsiness of the day. We got to get the break, and Charles Arbuckle will be joining us when we continue. Buck will be with us. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Still a major problem here as they reroute traffic off 24 westbound onto Harding Place as the accident reconstruction team is still there working that fatal crash that happened earlier this morning on 24 westbound just past Harding Place. Watch for a crash at Mountain View Road and Murfreesboro Pike, Donaldson Pike at the interstate. We saw that wreck a few minutes ago. Bars Music City Soul Food is now open behind the Bank of America on Nolensville Pike at OHB. Log on to barsmusiccitysoulfood.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then try Babbel. Text TRY to 484848 and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the space repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel free. Just text TRY to 484848 and start learning a new language today. That's TRY to 484848. T-R-Y to 484848.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 833-8-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Five State Forecast.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyScan forecast for this morning. Chance of thunderstorms, high 95. Chance of thunderstorms tonight, low 72. Chance of showers tomorrow, high 91. And thunderstorms likely tomorrow night, low 73. Utilize the resources of the WeatherBug Network with Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Bob Stye.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Often imitated, never duplicated. Wordsmithing like a mofo on college football, it's Bill King.
Charles Arbuckle with us every Tuesday. Buck, I see a stampede of reporters trampling each other on the way to the cancellation story on Monday. Did you see the same thing?
Premature cancellation, I think, happened, right? Premature postponement.
That's right.
Any of those things, we don't have medicine for that, so I can't really help those folks. No, Bill, I mean, here's the thing. I want safety as much as everybody else, but I also think we have to have some patience, and I think we're going to see who in leadership can show that patience. You know, Greg Sankey, I said it before, that, you know, what we kind of do is we kind of like get on people in the moment, like, oh, they did a great job. But I really think that if this is done right, we're going to come out on the other side, hopefully, where there's, you know, where people get through it. And they're safe, and we're able to have college football in some form or capacity, because it seems like there's a movement of they want to play. Players want to play. Coaches want to play. ADs. Now the presidents and the commissioners, I don't know. And that's where we're getting this chasm of folks. The medical folks are giving them the information. Are they going to use it in the right way, and are they going to use it in a timely fashion? I think the SEC has always said, let's push this back and be patient. And then the ACC came along. The other conferences kind of followed suit. It's just interesting to me to see what they're going to do, because if you, quite honestly, if you have a COVID diagnosis, you should get an echo or EKG. They're going to do that anyway, right? They're going to test to see if there are any changes of your heart, and then you shouldn't play. Heat-related things, I don't know what that does with COVID. We don't know. So for anybody to say, we got to cancel season, no, I think there's some patience that has to happen. Now, am I confident it's going to happen and go off without a hitch? Hey, man, I don't know. I hope so. But I also know, don't be disingenuous if you're any of these folks that are in the positions of power to tell us it's about player safety, because it ain't about player safety. It's about not getting sued and the money that you can either gain or lose. And I think if we come from that basis, and you and I have talked about this from the beginning, and I'll stay clear on that, until we know that for sure, then we can go. And it seems like the players are saying, hey, if this is going to be a change also, where I think you're going to either have a super conference or super conferences, and then you also will have players that say, hey, look, we've decided to play. Don't make us sign a waiver. Give us our name, image, and likeness, and let's go from there. Now, the Pac-12, those kids are talking about 50% of the revenue. They're crazy. Other things they ask for, I say, okay, yeah, I'm okay with it. And I can see why Larry Scott might say, did you guys really look at these demands? And then to go from there, there's so many different facets of this thing right now that we see playing out. And you and I talked about this about 6 weeks ago. Once it got closer and closer to time, there was going to be some panic. And we're seeing people panic as opposed to be cautious, be patient, and make decisions in the moment as opposed to being reactive and instead of proactive.
Tell you what, when we look back, Buck, a couple of years, and we're revisiting this crazy period, will we circle Trevor Lawrence as maybe the player, at least the original player hero?
I have to give him a lot of props Joe Burrow was the first one to speak out at the NFL level, and I said kudos to Joe. Because, Bill, we've been doing it in locker rooms for years. Let's not get this twisted. We've been doing it in locker rooms for years. As a black player, you look to those quarterbacks who are usually white. Now we're seeing more black quarterbacks. I'm going to call it like I see it. Is this guy down with me, or is he only going to play on the field with me and then we have nothing else in common? Trevor Lawrence went to things, and he's been the conduit for guys, and he said it from the very beginning. Hey, he's also said, look, guys want to play, and these are what my guys are saying. He's been a leader in this situation, and I think we're seeing him. And then he and Justin Fields have started this movement of like, hey, we want to play. Let's do everything we can to make it as safe as we can. And if it doesn't happen, then we can take a step back. But we've trained. We've done this. And I think those two young men from Georgia who have been in the battles against each other, Trevor took the lead first. Now Justin Fields is coming. I love that because you got to have quarterbacks. You can have everybody else on your team. You can be an offensive lineman with the voice. You can be a safety with the voice. You can be a tight end. You can be a linebacker. But if you're not the QB, if you're not the golden boy, not meaning white golden boy, I just mean the golden boy that everybody looks at, people don't really care. And you're starting to see those guys speak up and speak out. And I agree with you. I think that's what you got to have in things like this. He also did what I thought was unique is going to the other conferences and saying, hey, how can we unite on this about playing as opposed to the off-the-field stuff? And I think those are things that you look at from a leader. His stock, to me, Bill, has gone up tremendously. And I think it's because of the things off the field. He's got to work on not throwing the ball too high, got to do some of those things. But I have heard from the very beginning and talking to those coaches, I can remember my first conversation with Jeff Scott. He said, Buck, this kid gets it. He said he gets it. From day one he came in here, he's willing to work. He's willing to do every dirty thing that we ask him to do. And when he gets on the field, he's going to be a first-round draft pick. And you can see that coming to fruition.
This talk from coaches yesterday – couple of coaches. Frost was probably the most demonstrative. Ryan Day said it as well. Hey, if our league doesn't play, we'll make other arrangements. And again, I don't have the boilerplate legalese agreement, league agreement in front of me. But is that even do? If the Big Ten ultimately announces we're not going to play, is there a way legally Ohio State and or Nebraska or whoever wants to play could join a one-year super conference?
You know, I'm curious, Bill, because I don't know, but I'm assuming since they're putting it out there that there's some kind of way they can do it. Because you hear Scott Frost, James Franklin, Ryan Day, Jim Harbaugh, who people love or hate, Jim I played with in Indy, speaking out about the kids wanting to play, and you and Jim, you know, Jim what lost the recruit because he wore cleats in the house of the guy that he was recruiting, the offensive lineman. So
yes,
that doesn't shock me. But I think it's something that where Notre Dame has. I think what we have to look at is this year as saying, okay, we got to think totally different than we have about college football and about how these matchups are going to play. Because not only that, from the FBS. Not from the FBS, but from the from those smaller, like the group of five schools. Think about some of those. We haven't heard much because we spent so much time talking about the big boys, right? But I think some of those group of five schools, maybe a University of Houston, maybe, there's just UCF. There's other schools that are saying, look, we want to play, and if we are allowed to play, where can we fill in the gaps? So we'll have an opportunity, A, to play and show you that we can play with the big boys, and B, that we can be involved in a season that's going to be unlike any other. This season is going to be totally different, whether it's 30 teams that play, whether it's 60 teams that start. And when I say play, I don't know if they'll finish, but if they'll start, because they're going to start. It seems like there's a movement, unless something just catastrophic happens, that they'll start. And I've talked about this. If they find that they can create some kind of bubble, you know, some kind of place where they, with the kids on campus, because schools are saying they're going to start, right, Bill? Yeah. But I really think by the time the kids get back to campus, the young people get to campus, they're going to really go to online. So you still have somewhat of a bubble because people are in those environments, but they're still not out going to classes every day. I mean, I heard a college is going to do three classes online and then two that are social distance. So I don't know if that's going to work across the country. But I do know is if they can create their own kind of bubble, these super conferences may have a place. And to answer your question, since Notre Dame is doing it, there has to be some legal ramifications and some ways to do it with the TV contracts. Because I can only imagine that Fox, ESPN, and all of these other major networks are saying, look, we may have to rethink how we're doing our contracts because we have this six-year agreement in place with Conference X. But Conference X doesn't really exist the way we thought it would this year. So how do we move to that? And I think that's what's going to be so unique, and I think that's why the Big Ten started like they were going to go down that path and pulled back. Now, will they go and continue? I don't know. Will the Pac-12? I don't know. But it sounds like schools in these conferences, I'm just saying SC is one. I'm just using SC, is going to say, do we really want to not play this year as a private university? Stanford, do we really not want to play and maybe have a chance to compete in those in that other conference? Or if you're Penn State, do we want to sit out? Or Nebraska has said it really clear. I don't think we want to sit out. We want to play if football is played. So to answer your question, we're going to see, and that's going to come out in the next few days as to whether that happens. And this year could be one of those years where we've seen some things that we never thought we'd see in college football, but it would give us a whole new perspective on it.
Yeah, Isaiah Wilson says that Harbaugh came in his house with cleats on, and that's one of the big reasons he chose Georgia. Now he's a Tennessee Titan and just got drafted by the Titans. But, yeah, I got another one for you, Buck, and I can't remember. It's a baseball name, and I think it's a pretty famous name. But I was told this baseball coach went to interview at a college somewhere in the South, and I don't. It's a story so long ago I can't even remember the school. And he met with the AD, and everything went well. But he was wearing cowboy boots. So the AD took him to meet the president. When they got to the president's office, the coach literally sat down, Buck, and put his boots up on the desk.
Well, I know in Texas you wear cowboy boots with everything, and you may even wear a cowboy hat. And I remember growing up, and I'd wear, you know, the first time I got a suit, I had on cowboy boots, and people looked at me crazy. And I said, look, that's what we do at home. So, but to put them on the desk, that's a little bit disrespectful until it's your desk, I think.
Now, I don't know if he had spurs on him at the time, but he had cowboy boots. I do know that.
Oh, man. No, hey, look, I've seen some crazy things, and, you know, it's crazy. But that's the normal wear down at home, right? When you go to Texas, I think you see people in cowboy boots all the time. And if you don't wear them, you get accustomed to seeing them and you probably get used to it. Now, they make them so comfortable now, too, that if you get them made for yourself, you'll like them and you'll wear them for a lifetime.
Buck, we will see you next week, sir. God knows between now and then what happens, but I'll see you next Tuesday.
Hey, Bill, at least we got a chance to talk about a little bit other things. And then also, too, I got a podcast, Chopping It Up with Buck. Just tell your folks to go check it out on Facebook or wherever they get their podcast. We have a good time. We got Maria Taylor this week. So
I saw that clip with her talking about her mistake in that game. That was good.
Yeah. Hey, man, I've known her since she came to ESPN when she was at the SEC Network. Just good people. But really some good conversation, too, about what's going on in the world and then her whole thing with the NBA. And we didn't catch up on the bubble because she hadn't quite got there yet. But we'll do a redo on that so we can find that out. That seems to be real fun. And they seem to be having some success with it.
Good stuff, Buck. Thank you, sir.
All right. Take care, Bill.
There you go. Charles Arbuckle. Call him Buck. He joins us every Tuesday. Got to get the break. Griff a little bit later. Hour number three after he gets off that business call. He has to take every Tuesday. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. They continue to reroute traffic here off the interstate. It's just a mess. 24 westbound here at Harding Place. Again, they're rerouting traffic. The accident reconstruction team remains on the scene of that fatal crash that happened this morning on 24 westbound just past Harding Place. 440 eastbound near Nolensville Pike checking on a crash there. Mountain View Road at Murfreesboro Pike was blocked a few minutes ago. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Log on to their website at princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander to Chuck, your on-time traffic.
With football season approaching, oftentimes I give, quote, gifts to the people. And among the many of you who are not big fans of that segment is my buddy and former BGA classmate, James Warren, who runs Sir Speedy. James, talk to me.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the gifts for the people.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of gifts to the people, you think there are some sure bets out there. So give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be gifts to the people in the near future.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-648-9175. 800-648-9175. 800-648-9175. That's 800-648-9175.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Kevin Harvick swept the weekend at Michigan, winning both races. Astonishing. Up next, something a little different. Road course racing from the infield at Daytona. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday, the same place that Kevin Harvick does.
Hi, this is Kevin Harvick, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at facebook.com/TheFinalLap. It would make us smile.
The old BCS computer runs on diesel fuel and dreams. We know this because it lives in Bill King's garage.
Monday was also interesting. I don't know how many of you saw this. Shannon Terry stepped down as the, CEO of 24/7. He's the one that started Rivals and in a couple of years sold it to Yahoo for almost $100 million. Took a year or two off, then started 24/7. And they sold it to CBS for, I think, twice that. And he stayed with them for a total of 10 years, and yesterday announced he was stepping aside, going in a new direction. Now, again, I don't know anything more about it than that, but he is the entire reason those entities got built. And he's the one that held it together both times and built it up and hired the right people for the right structure and everything. Really did. So, yeah, I know nothing lasts. I wasn't expecting that. Wonder who, have they announced who's going to run 24/7? I haven't seen anything from that perspective. Let's go to Aliquippa Bob. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, you know, listen to Buck and everybody else this morning. I wanted to call in. You know, last night I listened to a show with Phil Gross on from Blue White
Illustrated. Phil. I've known Phil a long time.
Yeah. Very, very informed gentleman.
And it's still Blue and Gold Illustrated. What's the name of it?
Blue White.
Blue White. That's right. Illustrated. That's right. Blue White. Yes.
So he was asked a question about Penn State, Ohio State, Nebraska, and Michigan playing in the ACC or the SEC. And he came back with this, Bill. He said, look, he said, I don't see how that happens because the Big Ten, not the individual schools, the Big Ten holds their TV rights. And so, I, you know, if that's the case, Bill, that really puts a wrench in the works, so to speak.
Now, let me ask you this, though. We have this legal term that's come up, and the lawyers will say it's a million years old, called force majeure, which in legal terms means a situation beyond anybody's control and legal documents.
Uncontrolled act of God.
We're in one right now. Nobody will debate this. This situation we're in is not one that could have been prevented, per se. So, I don't know what the legal document looks like. I don't know what the language is in there at all, Bob, but that's the only thing I'm thinking is maybe there's an opt-out somewhere there for a year. But the rest of the league probably be mad because they're not going to share any of the money, right?
Well, Bill, that's the thing, you know, and I agree totally with my man Black, who called earlier. The leadership is just a joke. I mean, Bill, the reaction of Ryan Day, Harbaugh, Franklin, and Frost, and the players themselves, and even some ADs coming up, that's telling me that the top echelon didn't even consult them before they made this decision. And Bill, I believe it was true. I agree with Gator Dave and everyone else. They were going to do this, Bill, until the backlash hit. And can you imagine how many big dollar boosters called Kevin Warren yesterday or called each school's president when this news broke at One Football?
Now, hey, you know Josh in London, Ohio, on Twitter. He called the conference office, I think he said 32 times. Now he got to the secretary. You're not going to get to Kevin Warren, but I believe him. Josh, when he says he did that, I believe he did it.
You are not getting to the secretary. Josh sent me the same text, and so I decided yesterday morning to try to call, and I called for 6 hours. It's like every half hour or so I call. I finally got through, and I got to the secretary's voicemail, and the guy's extension is like 21012 or something, 020 or something like that.
Wow.
But, you know, Bill, can you imagine how many phone calls they've gotten? If it took me that long, a day later, How many calls did they get raising Cain about? And I was polite. I was respectful. I said, look, I disagree with you. I think we should have football, and cited a few reasons, and that was it. But I think the Big Ten's trying to be number one again, Bill. I think we're trying to be the number one worst conference in college football under this guy's leadership. But, Bill, I agree with Buck. I think Buck was on the right path with the TV contracts. And the money always talks, Bill, right? Follow the money, right? So I would love to know if there is someone out there, some administrator in the Big Ten that could comment, or some attorney could comment on that. How easy would that be to break that TV rights deal? And how many years are you going to be in court? So, and then the other thing, Bill, is let me ask you this question. If somebody does challenge that, does that mean that that's the end of the conferences as we know them? Is that when the schools just say, you know what, we're going off on our own and forming our own super conference? And then the next question is, where is the NCAA through all this? What are they doing, Bill?
They're in the fetal position in the corner of some room.
So does that mean, Bill, that the Power Five, whether they want to take this over or not, are going to finally recognize, stand up, and realize that, you know what, we need to move away from these people.
I hear you.
Just questions I have, Bill. Thoughts I have. So
right,
I'll
Bob.
Let you go with that. I know you're coming
Thank
up close
you.
To a break.
Appreciate it, sir. I have said this to you for years. The Autonomous Five don't want to break away from the NCAA. Big pain in the neck. Now, I'm not saying they wouldn't do it if that's where it needed to go. But they don't want to. That's not the goal. Think about it. The NCAA is the member institutions. That's the NCAA. And the autonomous five have all the autonomy they need. They get anything they want. So what would be the meaning or the reasoning to break away? They already own all the real estate they want and the rules. They got full cost of attendance. They got the playoffs. Anything they want, they get. So I don't think that's going to happen, at least for now. We got another hour. We'll be back. Omni.